This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Stimulus Package 2.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President-elect Barack Obama is off to Capitol Hill today to talk tax cuts. He's seeking more than $300 billion in cuts for businesses and the middle class, part of a massive stimulus package to counter what could be a long period of economic fallout. Tensions in the Middle East continue to fuel increases in the price of oil. It's trading at about $48 a barrel this morning. Iran, the world's fourth largest oil producer, which has a big seat at the OPEC table, wanted to cut supplies to supporters of Israel in the wake of their Gaza campaign. But American and European allies in the region, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and others, wouldn't go along. The dispute between Russia and Ukraine over natural gas is starting to hit European Union supplies. EU officials are meeting today to talk about the impact of the deepening rift. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Poland, Hungary, Romania, and Bulgaria all get Russian gas through a pipeline that passes through Ukraine. And they all say their supplies dropped by a third over the weekend. Russia turned off the tap to Ukraine last week after the Ukrainians refused to pay a higher price for the gas. If the dispute continues, other European countries could be hit. Nick McGregor is with brokers Redmayne Bentley.
Many other European countries and larger economies such as Germany and Italy are largely dependent for their gas imports on Russia.
Ukraine says the pipeline that crosses its territory has been malfunctioning since Russia turned off the tap, but the Russians accuse the Ukrainians of stealing gas meant for other customers. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
It's looking like another day of buying for world markets. Asian stocks were up for the most part. Hong Kong up 3.5%. Japan rose more than 2%, the highest close for the Nikkei in 2 months. European shares are mostly up this morning as well. The Dow gained nearly 3% on Friday in its first trading session of 2009, the first time it's closed above 9,000 in a couple of months. There were about 3% gains in the S&P 500 and NASDAQ to wrap up last week. It is no secret the American auto industry is in dire straits. A government bailout, and not just slumping sales, abysmal sales. Today we're going to find out just how abysmal. Car makers report December sales figures throughout the day, and they could be downright scary. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
One way the auto industry measures its health is a figure called the annual selling rate. Jesse Toprak is with the auto research website Edmunds.com. He says last month, the sales rate likely fell below 10 million cars and trucks for the first time in decades. That's fewer cars than we send to the junkyard each year.
If you just look at the number of cars that disappear from traffic, the old car is just getting scrapped. That's around 12.5 million cars. So with a 10 million selling rate, we're actually lowering the number of cars that are in the U.S. fleet.
Fewer cars and trucks on the roads may sound good for the planet. For the economy, not so much. There are signs the shift away from trucks and SUVs might be reversing now that gas prices have fallen back to earth. Toprak says last month, truck and SUV sales outpaced car sales for the first time all year. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Apple's big gadget party, Macworld, opens in San Francisco today. It is an all-out effort to drum up enthusiasm for its new products. But the thrill of the event isn't necessarily what will be featured, but who will be missing. Steve Jobs says he probably won't make it. The Apple CEO has been plagued by rumors about his health. Jobs already nixed the show after this year because it's very pricey to put on. Some analysts say Macworld can cost as much as $25 million.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
Last week, the Federal Reserve made more than $100 billion in short-term loans, yet another way to loosen the credit markets, the move part of something the Fed calls term auction facility. It's odd-sounding, but very important to the financial world, and it's the subject of our latest Marketplace Decoder. Here's Janet Babin.
Even financial types think the term auction facility is tough territory.
I can't believe you're actually doing a story in the term auction facilities. You're very brave.
That's Jarrett Seaberg, a financial analyst at the Stanford Group. I told him it's Marketplace listeners who are brave. They want to know what this stuff is. So he goes on. The Federal Reserve has always lent banks emergency cash through its discount window. The term auction facility came into the mix when things got crazy about a year ago. It also gives banks loans, but the terms are longer, sometimes up to 84 days.
The large banks submit bids to the Federal Reserve on how much they're willing to pay to get that money, and the Federal Reserve sifts through the bids and decides who the winners are.
The auctions happen every 2 weeks, and Seaberg says we should be glad they do.
We should be singing hallelujah, because this was a desperately needed solution to a liquidity crunch at the banks.
If the banks don't have cash to lend, the economy screeches to a halt. Professor Bill Brown at Duke Law School says it's like whiny kids at the beach when all but one of their toys gets washed away.
And so what the Fed is doing with this facility is saying, we know that you're no longer sharing toys because you only have one toy each. We're going to give you more toys.
In hopes that if banks get enough toys, they'll start sharing again. But so far, that hasn't happened. Even though the Fed's been lending $150 billion every 2 weeks through the TAF program.
We should be worried that the Fed is exploding its balance sheet. We should be worried that things aren't getting better, even though we keep trying to throw more money at it.
Yeah. Can't we all go back to the beach? Maybe when the Fed closes the term auction facility. That would be a sign that the economic tide has shifted. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us online. The latest economic news, we're podcasting there as well at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.